Hello, my Improve It peeps. This month on the show, we are talking all about freedom. That is our word for the month. It is July 2024. And if you're listening to it in July, great. If you're listening to this anytime throughout the year, this word freedom is an opportunity for you to pause. And it's an opportunity for you to think about what this word actually means to you. So I want you to take a moment just right where you are. If you're driving, please do not close your eyes. But if you're walking, if you're sitting, I want you to close your eyes. And just for a moment, think of what comes up in your mind when you say the word freedom. Maybe what comes up for you is choice. Maybe what comes up for you is clarity. Maybe what comes up for you is opportunity. Whatever that word is, whatever came to mind, I want you to hold it close to you as we go through our time together today. Because what I can tell you is that freedom can be found. It can be a word that you use on a daily basis. You can find freedom from anxiety, freedom from people pleasing, and freedom from inside your own freaking head by learning not just what the word confidence means, but how to be more confident. Today's guest is going to talk to us all about this word confident, and I am so excited for you to meet Nicole Khalil. Nicole has a passion for eliminating gender expectations and redefining women's work. It's what both keeps her up at night and what gets her up in the morning. Well, that and an abundant amount of coffee. She's an in-demand speaker, author of Validation is for Parking, such a good book title. She's a leadership strategist. Try saying that five times fast. She's a respected coach, and she's the host of the popular This Is Women's Work podcast. Her stalker-like obsession with confidence sets her apart from the constant stream of experts telling us to be confident. She actually shares how you build confidence and gives actionable tools that you can implement immediately. Now, a fugitive of the C-suite at a Fortune 100 company, she has coached hundreds of women in business, which has given her insight as to what structurally, systematically, and socially is and isn't serving both women and leaders within an organization. Maintaining some semblance of sanity in her different roles of wife, mother, and business owner is an ongoing challenge. And whatever free time she has, she enjoys reading and wine guzzling, is an avid cheese enthusiast, a hotel snob, and a reluctant Peloton rider. If you clicked play, my beautiful Improve It peep, on today's show, it's because you want to know how to define confidence. You want to know and define what is chipping away at your confidence, and you want to learn how to actually build it tangibly, step by step. We're going to get to all of that and more. Nicole is giving us all the answers. Get ready to be blown away. Get ready to laugh and find freedom by improving your confidence. Without further ado, let's get to improving it with Nicole Khalil. Nicole, I am so freaking excited to chat with you. We had the best time on your show. Welcome to the Improve It podcast.
Thank you for having me. I am so excited for our conversation. I know it's going to be high energy because you always bring the energy. I love it.
Yeah. Well, and you bring the funny. I love following you on Instagram. I love your, like, you have like a sarcasm that I wish I had. I'm more like cheesy. You're more sarcastic. And I like that about you. I love that about you. So bring that on today. Bring it. I'm the cheese. You're the sarcasm. We're going to melt them together. It's a sarcasm cheese. Okay. And then people can use it as a dip. You can dip your chip in the cheese sarcasm. All right. So the theme for this month is freedom. And this is July. I want to just start by setting a one-word intention for our conversation. It could be a word that you want to receive, a word you want to give. What would you set as your intention for this convo?
As it relates to freedom or just for just the conversation.
Anything in it can relate to freedom. That's just like a suggestion to get you started. But as it relates to you and what you want to bring today.
So my word is always confidence. That's the first go-to word in anything and everything that I do. So confidence.
Yes. Okay. I love that. And we're going to bring that in as we go. I know we're going to talk all about confidence today. That's what I would love. I know our Improve It peeps are going to eat it up. Again, dipping it in that sauce. Okay. Dipping in the cheese sarcasm. Okay. So what does this word freedom, when you hear the word freedom, what does that word mean to you?
So when I think of freedom, I think of choice and optionality. I think of the ability to do what feels best and right and true for me. And for me, that is being able to choose from a variety of options.
Yeah. So. I love that. And when you think about freedom as it relates to your career, what comes to mind?
Similar, the ability to choose and have options and do what feels right for me without getting stuck in the logistics or the details or whether or not I can afford to or whatever. Like I very much tie freedom and choice together. I know they're not the same, but they're like concentric circles for me because, yeah, I mean, freedom in my business is being able to do what I want to do, what's going to be most impactful, what lights me up from the inside, you know, chase a dream without having to go, you know, do I have the budget for that? Or how am I going to fit that in? Or how do I get the support that I need? You know, it's so easy. And I know any business owner can relate to this. It's so easy to get stuck in the hows and the wins and the how am I going to pay for this? So that's freedom for me.
I freaking love it. And I also love, I was doing some research on you and just how you've gone from this corporate life to this entrepreneurial speaker, author, all the things that you are, podcast host, and that freedom, you must have felt to create a life that you love and help other people do the same. I can imagine that's a very fulfilling sense of freedom too.
It absolutely is. And I'd be being dishonest if I didn't also say that fear came along with a lot of that too. So the fear was the first part, the freedom came after.
Yeah. I get that. Oh, I get that. I mean, there's still fear even 10 years in. I'm like, there's fear on a weekly, daily basis.
Yes.
Like it's real.
Hourly.
I love that though. And I love that you brought freedom into your life was the power to choose, which I think is perfectly said. And I think makes so much sense for the work you're doing. And I love that you're honest that fear was a part of it because it freaking is. It really is. And I want to talk about just your life as a whole. Is there anything, now I know you left corporate America and started your own thing. Is there any specific experience in your journey that you can think of that really brings the word freedom to mind?
Well, I really do think the decision to leave my corporate job and start my own thing was all about freedom and choice and autonomy and fear, but really the wanting to be the decider of the trajectory of my career, of how much I'm worth, my value, what I'm doing, when I'm doing it, how much I'm making, the decider of what I'm doing with my time, the people and clients I get to work with. In my corporate gig, it was amazing. I loved what I did, but the reality is I was limited in my choice. The company decided the products that we sold, the types of clientele we worked with, my peers, my advancements, my compensation package, you know, all of those things. And they were all good. I was treated very well. And yet I still wasn't the decider. And for me, again, because choice and optionality are so important, I think that's probably the thing that you could look at too, that would be the most obvious, where I made a clear choice to step away from some freedom for more freedom.
I love that. Isn't it interesting now that you've been an entrepreneur that freedom is like that to me, the freedom to create freely is almost like you can't put a price tag on that. I felt so boxed in at times. And again, I worked in corporate too, had a great, loved the people, but it just, the moment that I was able to be the decider, I felt a different sense of, my life felt completely different, honestly, because when you are boxed in, it's so hard to create. And when you do create, you have so many decision makers to get approval on. And I think what really took you out of that was that confidence, right? Like you had confidence in that decision to leave and to create your own freedom.
Yeah, absolutely. Confidence played a big part. And I'm curious, Erin, if you experienced this too. On the other side of making that choice, it's been interesting because I'm highly independent and autonomy is my love language. But looking back, one of the things I miss as an entrepreneur is the ability to brainstorm with other people, to be able to walk down the hall and open a door and be like, hey, what do you think about this? Or to get different perspectives, to collaborate when coming up with decisions. The thing I thought I would love the most about being an entrepreneur, I do, but it's also the hardest part, which is you feel pretty lonely and you often make decisions in a silo and you're like bouncing ideas off of random people whenever you can. And
yeah,
I didn't think I would miss that as much as I do.
Totally. Yes. And I will say that for sure. In the very beginning of my business, I mean, I now have two people on my team full time and I still go to my husband and like rattle his brain too. And he's like, don't you have a team for this? But in the beginning, I was calling him at work all the time, trying to get answers, calling my friends that I knew were out on their own, trying to get answers. It is lonely. And then the other thing is, even though I have a team, it's lonely at the top sometimes.
Yes.
Because like, you know, in the pandemic, who was feeling the brunt of that? Like, of course, everyone was feeling the scarcity. Everyone was feeling afraid for their health and their jobs. But like, I was the freaking person staying up late at night trying to figure out how to make it work, you know? Yeah. And that is when I felt the loneliest, even with a team of people, is when there's no one who can understand the weight you carry.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Because I think these aren't real numbers, but like 70% of whatever is going on or that you want to collaborate with, you can do with your team. But there are, and usually the hardest, most challenging parts, there's like 30% that it's not appropriate to bring to your team. I always have a rule. You can't vent down. You can vent laterally or up, but you can't vent down. So I can't go to my team members and talk about making this big financial decision and how scared I am and what the risks that I'm taking. I can't do that to them. That's not their piece or their role of this big puzzle. So I don't know. I found that to be lonely. And I too turned to my husband and my study group and my coach, but it's just different. I missed that part.
Yes, I agree with you. And the people, when you're in the corporate environment, they all kind of feel the same. You know, you're all in that culture together. You have peers, you have directors, you have people above you, below you, all the things. And I know there are times when it does feel extremely isolating. And I definitely felt like physical weight. Like I actually developed physical pain in the pandemic because I was just carrying the weight of so many people. My mom had just had a stroke in the pandemic, my team, their jobs, their livelihood, their insurance, you know, all the things. And so you just taking like a bird's eye view now, I can see that so clearly. At the time, I didn't know why I developed this pain, but it was actually like literally my shoulders were hurting. And I think spiritually that was like, I was carrying the weight of so many people. So, okay, this is not about me. This is about you, Nicole, because there's so many things I want to talk to you about. And the first thing is this amazing book that you wrote. And I was on a guest on your show recently. You gave me some great advice as an author to author, but you wrote a book called Validation is for Parking. And I just freaking love the title. Genius title.
Thank you. Yeah, that...
Where'd that come from, number one? And then what inspired you to help other women be more confident?
Yeah. So where it came from is it just fits me. It's kind of snarky. It's a little in your face. And I actually had somebody on the publishing team whose job it is to help authors come up with titles. So we spent many hours together and it just sort of flew out of my mouth. And it fit the snarkiness, but also hopefully triggers curiosity, which is what you want a book title to do. Like, people want to learn more. And then I'm sorry, I just completely spaced on the second part of your question. What was that?
No, but what inspired you to help women be more confident? Because this book is all about instilling confidence in women and not asking for validation, which I, as a recovering people pleaser, amen. So what led you to that?
So I think, like most people, when they do something, you know, something becomes their life's work, it stemmed from a personal story and more typically from a personal story of pain or loss, which is true for me. But I was moving up the corporate ladder from the outside looking in. I looked like I had it all together. People would have described me as confident. And how it looked on the outside did not match at all how I felt on the inside. I didn't know what confidence was, but I was sure I didn't have any of it. And it sort of came to a head when I got a really big promotion and was excited for about 3 seconds and then freaked out about whether or not I could do it and what it meant and if people would respect me as a leader. And I mean, just the spin, right? Negative spin that just happens to us sometimes. And so at that point, I went on a personal journey to develop and build my own confidence. But what I realized is people tell us all the time to be confident, but nobody's telling us how to become confident. And I'm a how-to girl. Like, give me the step-by-step guide. I will follow it. But I wasn't finding anything other than buy this product or, you know, wear this thing or work out. I'm like, okay, there has to be something more to it than this. And so I went down the rabbit hole of understanding what confidence is, how you build it, what gets in the way of it. And as I began to experience the feeling of developing my own and see what was different, you know, as we often do, we can't help but share it with the people around us. And then that became a bigger and bigger thing. And it some point in time, it became the thing that gets me up in the morning and what keeps me up at night, which is how do we build confidence? And then the data is very clear. Women or young girls from the age of about 8 all the way to our late 40s are operating in our careers, in our lives, in our relationships with less confidence than our male counterparts. Now, I'm speaking in generalities. There might be, you know, somebody listening in who's like, no, I'm super confident. Great. I am thoroughly thrilled for you. But the reality is, generally speaking, women are spending the bulk of their lives with less confidence than their male counterparts. And not because we're born with less, but because we've been socialized out of our confidence.
I mean, I believe it. And that sucks. It sucks so bad. Yeah. And it's so cool that this is your mission. And so let's just get right into it. First of all, how would you define confidence? What would you say confidence is?
I'm so glad you asked that question, because that to me was the biggest game changer. I went to the etymology of the word, like what it is in Latin, how it translated to Middle English. I even looked into how it translates into all different languages. And ultimately, if you take nothing away from our conversation today other than this, take this. Confidence is trust in self. Confidence is when you trust yourself firmly and boldly. And that's really it. And so we're getting a lot of mixed and false messages about what confidence is, and it can be really confusing. And if you don't know what it is, how do you get more of it, right? So I think the definition is of vital importance. Confidence is firm and bold trust in self.
Love it. Love it. And I feel like when you said that, it was almost like a little boop in my soul. She woke up. She said, hey, I'm here, you know, and it's such an easy thing to say in theory. It's so hard to practice. So I want to get into that because I'm also a tangible person. I love that. Let's first talk about the things that make us less confident. What are five things that make us less confident, or they just chip away at our confidence?
Yeah. So these are doing damage to all of our confidence, whether we're aware of them or not. And I've just yet to meet a person who isn't experiencing at least one of these things on a very regular basis. So the five things that are chipping away at our confidence are perfectionism, what I call head trash, negative thoughts, inner critic, you know, whatever you want to call it. I call it head trash because I want it to sound as disgusting as it actually is. So yeah. Perfectionism, head trash, comparison, overthinking, and seeking confidence externally. It basically looks like us thinking someone or something is going to give us our confidence as opposed to what it is, which is something we build internally. If I had to add a sixth, which you didn't ask, but I'm going to, people pleasing would be the sixth confidence. Mm. I call it confidence derailer. These are the things that are just doing damage. Now we can dive into any one of those if you want a little bit deeper, but those are the ones.
Okay. I'm so here for all of them. I've never heard head trash before. I need more about head trash because that's such a good label. That is such a good
label. Because it's gross, right?
It's so good. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about head trash because all six of those things are things that I know every human listening to this show can relate to. We've all done one of them at some point in our lives. Some more than others. I'm a recovering perfectionist and people pleaser with a little comparisonitis on the side. And I got some head trash going on. So there's like four out of the six right there. Talk to me about head trash. And then I want to know too, I want to talk about like one actionable step. And I know we have six different things, but if you could say, here's an actionable step to help you get rid of your head trash today, what would that be?
Okay. Do we have time for a little story about head trash?
Give me the good on the head trash. I'm here for head trash.
So the way head trash came about, or what I learned about it, was when my family and I moved from California to Massachusetts. And this was not a planned thing. I can do my work from anywhere. I'm assuming you probably can too. But my husband got offered an amazing job opportunity that was here on the East Coast. And so within a 2-month period, we sold our house in California, packed up our shit, moved all the way across the country. We bought a house that my husband hadn't even seen. I flew out and visited like, I don't know how many houses. Long story short, I didn't have time to do a ton of research about the town we moved to. And one of the things I did not know until we got there was the town of Winchester, Massachusetts does not provide trash service. And what I mean by that is nobody comes by each week and takes your trash barrels away. You have to take your trash to something called the transfer station, which is a very nice way of saying the dump. Now, you can find somebody to pick up your trash, but there's a long wait list, and so I couldn't do that right away. Long story short, I every week would take our trash, our recycling, our compost, and put it in the back of my car, drive it to the transfer station, and discard and dispose of it. Not my favorite chore in the world, but it was necessary. And before anybody feels sorry for me, my husband does all of the grocery shopping and cooking in our household. So this seemed like an okay, you know, trade. Anyway, in doing that, I learned a lot about head trash from having to deal with my regular trash. And the three primary learnings are, first, we are not the only contributors to our trash. Like, my husband throws things away. My daughter JJ does. When we have family over, or if we have a dinner party, other people are contributing to my trash. But it doesn't change that it is still my responsibility to sort and discard it. Nobody ever comes back after a party and is like, oh, let me help you get rid of your trash, right? The same is true for our head trash. We are not the only contributors to it. Other people have contributed to that voice in our head, whether it be bullies or exes or horrible bosses or well-intentioned family and friends. So many people have contributed to our head trash, and it does not change the fact that it will only ever always be our responsibility to sort and discard that head trash.
Nicole, that is the best freaking story and such a good metaphor. Keep going. Let me just give you praise on that. Go ahead. Yeah. I'm like here for this.
Never thought my trash would pay off so well. But
yeah.
The second thing I learned is that not all trash is created equal. Some things can be recycled. They can be brought back for another use or another purpose. Some things can be composted. They can be used for growth. And there are definitely things that need to be tossed, never to be seen or thought of again. They are straight trash. Same is true for our head trash. Some things can be recycled. So I'll give you the example. I've been told many times that I'm fairly loud and opinionated. I recycled that and did what any loud and opinionated person would do, and I launched a podcast, right? So I recycled it for some other use. I've been given the feedback in more of my corporate days that I can be a little unapproachable. I'm like super task-oriented, very laser-focused, and people would give me that feedback. I wanted to compost that. That's something I wanted to use for my own growth because that's not who I wanted to be. And so I worked on developing the skill and paying attention to creating a more open and inviting space. And then I had an ex-boyfriend who told me once that given my level of ambition, I would never find anybody who would want to love and marry me. Now, that is clearly trash, and so is he. And that needed to be discarded, never to be seen or thought of again. So not all trash is created equal, but we get to decide whether we want to recycle, compost, or toss the trash.
Yes. Oh my God. Okay. And is there a third?
Third and final.
Okay. Let's get to the third. These are so good. This is in the book, right? Like this
is
definite,
in the book. Yeah.
Okay. You have to get her book.
I say it a little different, but yes. Yeah.
Right, this is so good. All right. Give us number three.
So number three is our trash gets disgusting when it's hot out. New England summers are humid and no joke, like we're talking maggots, smell, and yeah. Like having to take it and put it in my car and drive. It was just gross. And so when it's hot out, I need to deal with my trash more consistently and with more focus and intentionality. I need to be more diligent. I need to take it two or three times a week instead of one or two or one time every week or every other week when it's winter, right? And the same is true for our head trash. We need to be more diligent, more consistent, more intentional when it's hot out. And what I mean by that is when you're overwhelmed, when you're under pressure, when you're stressed, the you know what out. That is when we need to be extra diligent about the thoughts that are running through our head. And we need to sort, sift, discard it much more consistently and with much more intentionality than, you know, a regular day. So that's what I learned about head trash from my regular trash. And the reality is we all have this voice in our head and it is saying things to us about us that are never kind and almost never based in fact or truth. And yet we operate as if they are, and it is chipping away at and doing massive damage to our confidence. And then to answer your question, what's the one thing that we can do? Give ourselves grace. Mm. The way we talk to ourselves matter. And I, the simplest way to start is to begin to talk to yourself like someone you love. If you're saying things to yourself that you wouldn't say to your best friend or your partner or your child, then we need to hold on. What would I say to them in this situation? And then we begin to practice saying that to ourselves.
Nicole, mind blown. Okay. This is amazing. I'm here to get trashed. Okay. I want to get rid of the trash.
Yeah. I never thought trash would be so cool.
That is such a good metaphor. And what a beautiful reminder. Like when you're in that moment of going down the negative shame spiral in your head, like, boom, get rid of the trash, get rid of the trash. Also the inner child piece, the talking to yourself, like are you talking to yourself like you had a best friend or your child, so resonates. And this is just, I think, a beautiful picture. We both have kids, but like I pictured my son and would I say those same things to him? Absolutely not. And I work with an energy healer. And I was just telling you this before we hit record, I burned myself out, which you and I talked about before my book launch. You're like, I burned myself out. And I remembered those words, but I did it anyway. And my healer said, here's what you have to do. You need to have a picture of little Aaron at 7 or 8 years old and put it at your, I meditate all this stuff. She's like, put it at your altar And every day, think about what little Erin needs and what you would say to her. And I got to tell you, that shift right there too helped me so much with the head trash, because I was beating myself up for burning myself out, which is, you know, the head trash I was having about, you know, burning, right? Yeah. So it was just this, it can become an endless cycle, and it does hurt your confidence. It hurts your psyche. It hurts your nervous system, all the things.
Well, the reality is we spend the bulk of our lives inside of our own minds.
Totally.
We might as well make it a nice place to be.
Right? Totally. Oh my God. Yes. Okay. This I'm curious about, because this ties hand in hand. Do you have, are you an affirmation person? Is there things that you say to yourself to get rid of the head trash? And if so, could you share one with us?
Yeah.
You feel vulnerable and comfortable too? Okay.
So I have
a
very simple one. I am actually not much of an affirmation person, but I actually had somebody on my podcast recently who explained it in a way that really made sense to me. And it was, a lot of times when we do affirmations, it's, we're saying something that's the opposite of how we feel. And it can feel like we're lying to ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. So if we're struggling with money and our affirmation is, I am abundant, wealthy, and what, it's like, ooh, that does not feel, that's what makes it so hard for me. Now, if it works for you, love it, do it, whatever works for you, I'm a big fan of. But for me, that is why affirmations were always harder. So I'm working on some different affirmations that feel true. Like, I'm afraid and I trust that it will be okay. That feels more true for me. Or, but the simplest one, the one I do default to all the time when head trash keeps kicking up, is I just repeat the word gentle in my mind over and over. Gentle, gentle, gentle. As a reminder to be gentle with myself, the same way I would be with my daughter, JJ, or my best friend, or my husband, or anybody that I loved. Because I would still tell the people I loved what I think they need to hear. I would still tell them the truth. I would still challenge them, but I would do it with kindness and gentleness and love. And that is the reminder I'm giving myself. Be gentle with myself the way I would be with them.
Oh, I love that. And that ties into grace, like the one action item you would do. Oh, I like that. Gentle, gentle.
Yeah, because sometimes the spin is so fast, I can't even figure out.
Yeah.
Like, I just need to cut it and stop it at some point.
That's so good. Okay, so I love that. The gentle, gentle. And I like also the reframe of, you know, I trust this will work out. I am feeling X right now. I trust this will work out. Because truly, that's a surrender. That's a letting go. That's allowing, you know, the universe to come in and guide you versus feeling like you have to control it, which is also something just real quick, just made me think of when you think of confidence and you think of control, are those things the same or are those two things separate?
I would see them as pretty separate. Control in my mind is trying to solve, fix, manipulate. And I don't even necessarily mean that in the bad way, but just, you know, whereas remember, confidence is about trust.
Yeah.
There's almost a surrender or a release that happens when you trust that does not happen when you try to control, at least in my experience. So it's a great question. I've never really thought about it that way. You know, and as a recovering perfectionist and recovering control freak, I still, you know, try to do that. And in some cases with business, I think there's some upsides, but I do think confidence is way more about trust, surrender.
That makes so much sense to me. And I think that to me feels very congruent with this idea of, okay, with confidence, like I can trust the process when I'm controlling or when I don't have that, when I am that type A control freak, which is what I am also, you know, I try not, again, working, recovering, I'm not trusting. I'm wanting things to be a certain way. So that makes total sense to me. I didn't even think of that until as we were talking through this.
Yeah. As you were talking that, so when I try to control, when I default to that, I'm typically trying to avoid mistakes, pain, fear, failure, right? I'm trying to avoid the icky feelings. And when I think of confidence, I think that the distinguishing factor is when you experience those things, because they are inevitable, that you trust that it is part of the process, that you trust that this is going to work for good. You just don't yet know how, when, or what. You trust that with the benefit of hindsight, you'll be able to look back and go, oh, that's why I burnt out, or that's why that happened, or that's the lesson I got to learn. And so I haven't been able to figure out how to make mistakes, fear, failure suck any less. They still do when I'm in it, but it's the way I interact with it is a lot different today when I'm standing in a place of confidence and trust than like trying to control and make it go away.
Totally. Oh, that's so good. So good. Okay. I want you to feel like you have left everything on the table when it comes to confidence. Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you want the Improve It peeps to know?
So we hear this expression a lot in business, fake it till you make it. And as it relates to confidence, I am not a big fan of that expression. And it sounds like semantics, but I've replaced it with choose it until you become it. And what I think is really important here is so many of us have confidence as a feeling. We either feel it or we don't. I can do this because I feel confident, or I can't because I don't, right? And confidence is not just a feeling. It is first and foremost a choice. We get to choose to trust ourselves. We get to choose to... So confidence is a choice. And we must choose it when we're not feeling it. Sometimes minute by minute, day by day, and you choose it until the feeling catches up. Choose it until you become it.
Oh my God, I love that. I love that. And I love the word becoming. That was our word for the month of June. And it's just such a good word. And I love that when you choose it, you're choosing to become it because it is a choice. I love that. Nicole. Okay. This is one of my favorite parts because this is more like fun, get to know Nicole stuff.
Okay.
Love that confidence in there. We got it. We're going to give some tangibles and homework, but this is called Minute to Win It. And so I'm going to put a minute on the clock and I'm just going to ask you questions about yourself in a minute or less. And you can answer as fast. You have one, two, three, four, five, six questions in a minute. They can be a couple words, one word, whatever feels right. But this is just fun, get to know you. Okay.
The introvert in me is panicking, but let's go.
Okay, no, this is so fun. You're here. We're doing it. All right. So ready? Here we go. All right. Your favorite book?
Man Called Ove, Frederick Bachman.
Love it. Okay. Favorite TV show?
Ah, crap. New Girl.
Best show ever. Okay. Best podcast you've ever listened to besides yours or mine?
Oh, crap. Glenn and Doyle, We Can Do Hard Things.
Amen.
Okay. Or the Burnout, Fried, the Burnout podcast with Kate Donovan. Good one if you're experiencing burnout. Yeah.
Okay. Love that. All right. Favorite song to pump you up before you speak in front of a crowd?
I Am Here by Pink. That was easy.
So good. Song that makes you cry?
I Am Here by Pink. Every time. And
dream job of all time?
I'm living it.
Yes. Oh my God. You did it. In 15 seconds to spare, that was it. Okay, I love that. And by the way, New Girl is such a good show.
My plan B, that, by the way, would be a detective. I like should be on Criminal Minds or something like that. I really feel like I missed my calling.
Okay, all right. Well, you've got more time. You can do it. You can do it. There's still time. I would love to see that. You know what? I need to get into true crime. I did like the whole... what's that podcast that was on for forever?
Serial?
Serial. Okay. That's like the most crime I've ever listened to because I'm a freak and I like internalize it and then I think about it too much and then I become freaked out at the world. So, all right. Become a detective, Nicole. I'm here for this. I love that you love Glennon Doyle. Also, just I got to listen to this Pink song right after that. And I want to ask you one more question. This is the question we ask every guest. Improve It to us is that it's that thing that you felt like you were here to do. So you said your life's calling might be to be a detective, but what do you think Nicole's real it is?
I often say that the only thing I'm interested in is leading people back to themselves. So I think that it would be my it.
Super here for that. I love that it. And if people want to find you because they're going to want to, where can they find you? Give them all the links, all the things.
all the links, all the things. So This Is Woman's Work is the podcast. And NicoleKhalil.com is the website. And at Nicole M. Khalil is Instagram. I do not post in feed. I just, as you already said, post really snarky and lots of cursing in my stories. So if you're just looking for some snarkiness, you know where to find me.
Oh, they're so good. When I'm like, I have a little bite to me right now, I'm going to go to Nicole's stories, and they're so good. So follow Nicole. Get her book, too. Get the book.
Oh, yeah. Validation is for Parking. Thank you.
Yes. We'll put that, and you can find that link on your website. So we'll put the link to your website, your show, the podcast. We'll put everything in the show notes. I think our intention was met. I think we talked about confidence. I think you gave us some really tangible tips on how to remove our head trash. I'm so grateful you were on the show today, Nicole. Thank you for being here.
I'm so grateful for you inviting me. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Until next time. Improve it, peeps. Freaking love Nicole. I could talk to her for hours. In fact, after we stopped recording, we did talk for another 15, 20 minutes. She is so funny. She's so down to earth and she's so real and tangible. I'm so excited that we had the opportunity to have her on the show. I loved her five things that is chipping away at her confidence. And the one that we really spent the most time on today was head trash. Her metaphor, her story was so good. So here's what I want you to do. Remember her mantra, her affirmation that she uses to stop her head trash in real time. She uses the word gentle, gentle, gentle. I want you to do that today. I want you to find a moment when you are starting to fill your head with some type of trash, some scarcity statement, some type of limiting belief. And I want you to use the affirmation, gentle, gentle, gentle. Pretend you're talking to your 8-year-old self or your child. Would you say those mean things to 8-year-old you or to 8-year-old child that you might know? The answer is probably no. Gentle, gentle, gentle is the way to go. My friends, I have to thank you so much for being a part of today's show. I am thrilled to bring amazing guests like Nicole on the Improve It podcast, and I want to keep doing it. So here is my ask. If you liked the show, please consider leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes. It's what guests look at when they see, do they have a great audience who's engaged? And that makes them want to come on the show, number one. Number two, it helps bring more amazing peeps to this community. So leave a review, and in the comments, you can also ask a question, and I will most likely answer your question here on the show. So grateful for you. You know what I'm going to say. Keep failing, keep improving, because this world needs that very special it that only you can bring. I'll see you next time.